This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism, so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
You know, it's sometimes cynical and negative world. 98PXY dares to...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Feel good.
Oh, sometimes I get a good feeling.
This is Moose and Breezy's Vibe Check.
Yeah.
PXY Mornings on the number one hit music station, 98PXY.
Oh, sometimes I get a good feeling.
It's time for the Vibe Check on PXY Mornings. You got Moose, you got Breezy, and we're just... those good vibes. 585-252-9800. What are the vibes up this morning? Tell us why.
What are the people saying?
So many of our friends are knocking at the door, Breeze. Who's here?
Yes, they are. We have a couple people that just want to share their positivity. Good morning and happy Tuesday from Nico and Steven. Vibes are up since we got a Dunkin' gift card to use today.
Love it.
Gonna try that brown sugar espresso. Love you guys so much. Hope you have a wonderful day.
You know,
love you.
For two two people who are filthy rich, they sure use a lot of gift cards.
That's how they stay so rich. Yeah. Don't you know? I'm obsessed.
All right, we love you guys too. Thanks for tuning in and texting us every morning. We appreciate that.
Yes, thank you, thank you.
Speaking of,
yeah, did you go this morning?
No, I started.
You're so annoying that you like reuse your cup. You're filthy.
No,
disgusting.
No, I have a Dunkin' iced coffee in front of me. But what I do is I went yesterday afternoon. I keep it in the fridge and save it for this morning because I'm not going through the drive-thru at 4:45 in
you
the morning.
You go.
I tried doing that, and we all know how that went over.
So let me get this straight. You tell them to hold the ice, correct?
No. I just put more ice in it when I get here.
Not the watered-down coffee. No, you're sick. No, you're twisted. No, you need help.
It tastes the same. It tastes the same.
I guess I'm not a coffee drinker, so I wouldn't know. But how I would do it, maybe you try this next time. Get a regular coffee, put it in that, tell them hold the ice or light ice, and yeah, then put your ice in it.
I can't because I like to sip some of it on the way home.
Maybe that would be a great way for you not to sip it, so you can have the full thing for the... You know what? We're not going to... We'll just move on. Lily's here. Vibes are good, but I can't stop sneezing because of allergies. I hope you guys are doing amazing and have a great day.
Yeah, the temp goes up to 40 and now we all have allergies.
Achoo. Achoo.
That's great.
Oh, golly. Yeah. My vibes are up today because I'm going to Bristol.
Really? When? Mm-hmm. Today?
Today at 2. Can't wait to shred the gnar.
Sick.
You know me, huge Bristol girl.
Did she get a new snowsuit?
No. Guess what? We'll talk about this like a little later in the week, but I now am wearing my ski jacket from high school.
Oh, no way. You fit into that?
Yes.
Holy crap.
It's good for you. Insane. So, yeah, I'm wearing my jacket that I used to wear to ski club junior year.
How nostalgic.
I know. I do like the jacket. It is a nice jacket, but it's just very strange to fit back into it.
Guys, do not forget, if you plan on heading to the Bachelor Auction, the 15th annual, March 22nd, hosted by yours truly, Breezy and I, it's going to be at Anthology on East Ave. You can go to cserochester.org. All the money raised stays local right here in the 585 to help people who have been affected by cancer, and I think a lot of us know someone who has at this point. But 26 of Rochester's most eligible bachelors will be taking the stage. We did a background check on everyone, and they promised they would not murder anyone. So you're safe.
You're so safe. You're so safe.
You guys are going to be so fine.
You've never been more safe.
So get your tickets. VIP tickets are $55. General admission is $35. Honestly, the VIP is worth it.
Yeah, no. Food, drinks, mingling. You can get that extra
hour and
one-on-one time. You know what I mean? That cocktail hour.
Hour and a half with the bachelors. Figure out who your potential soulmate is.
Mm-hmm.
We want to see you guys there.
We sure do.
The vibes are up overall. I made Indian food for dinner last night.
Okay, culture.
So, yeah.
Pop off.
Yeah. Cheesy naan bread. I made the butter chicken right on the stovetop, Reese.
The butter chicken is very good.
It came out great. It was a good comforting meal for a winty, stormy night.
A what? Not the winty.
A winty, stormy night last night.
Yeah, we need more coffee for sure. Maybe we need less watered down coffee. It wasn't winter or storming. It was very nice out, actually. It was like 40 degrees.
Whatever. I needed it. The chicken was going to go bad. I had to cook it. Coming up for the big story of the day, a lot of you are familiar with the strike that has been happening with a lot of the correction officers across New York State.
Yes.
They walked off the job in a strike, which was deemed illegal by a lot of state officials.
Plot twist, they get arrested?
Well, that's the thing. I'll tell you what the state plans on doing for those that continue to strike. But a lot of people are saying good on them. Because the working conditions for a lot of these correctional officers, it's in the toilet. We'll talk about it coming up next on PXY Mornings.
Rochester's number one hit music morning show wants to hear from you. Call or text Moose and Breezy at 585-252-9800. The number one hit music station. 98 PXY.
PXY Mornings, Moose Breezy. A week has passed since correction officers across New York State walked off the job in a strike deemed illegal by most state officials. Mediation between the involved parties resumed yesterday morning, according to the Department of Corrections and Community Supervision. In response to the strike, I mean, you got more than 6,500 National Guard members who have been deployed to maintain security and order within the facilities because there's not many people to do it. The strike, which involved workers at 38 of the state's 42 prisons, has led to some workers being served with temporary restraining orders to halt their participation.
Interesting.
Saying, absolutely, don't you even think about going on strike. But that's what they're doing, and concerns have been raised over a lot of just correction officers reportedly working several 24-hour shifts consecutively due to staff shortages. And it's just horrendous working conditions, according to them. And one retired sergeant from a correctional facility says at some point in time, you get exhausted. And when you're a tired officer, you're a tired sergeant, that creates an even more dangerous situation because you're not fully aware of your surroundings.
Right.
And if there's anywhere that you want to be aware of your surroundings, it's in a prison. Negotiations between the state and the union representing the guards, that started on Friday, but the state has labeled the strike illegal. And they argue that it undermines the safety of correction officers currently on the job, inmates in the communities where the prisons are located. And over the weekend, the Department of Corrections announced that any officer failing to report to work is considered absent without leave and will be docked a day's pay for every day they stay on strike.
Jeez.
So those participating in the illegal job action may face other penalties, including termination of state-sponsored health insurance, discipline for violating the state's Taylor law, and the temporary restraining order. Right now, it was reported that a few hundred correction officers returned to work last week.
Yeah, they're like, so we're going back.
Ahead of the deadline, just to avoid any penalties.
Right.
But, man.
They're like, you want to strike? Yeah, no, you're not going to do that. No, thanks.
No, around and around we go. So negotiations are continuing. We'll see what happens with that. Coming up on the show, can you guys think of anything that was so much easier to learn as a kid than it is now?
Yeah, I can think of a ton of things.
Personally, if I have one regret in life, it's not learning a second language.
Yeah.
And I think it would have been so much easier to do as a kid than it is me trying to do it now.
Do we get more dumb as time goes on?
Like, I don't think that's it.
Our motor skills are just not what they used to be.
Yeah, sooner or later, someone's going to be taking our driver's license away from us.
No, fully.
We'll talk about it coming up next on PXY.
Real funny and really funny.
Really funny.
PXY Mornings with Moose and Breezy. Listen and follow in the free Odyssey app.
The number one hit music station. 98 PXY.
46 for the high today. It's PXY Mornings with Moose and Breezy. What is something that is easier to learn as a kid as opposed to today? Some of us struggle with trying to learn a new skill.
I feel like it's like everything, honestly.
Riding a bike. You see a 50-year-old try to learn how to ride a bike today?
Yeah, I saw the footage of former President Joe Biden. That was tough. Fell right off that.
Well, it wasn't that he was learning to do it. Maybe he was. He was just old. His foot got a little...
Regardless, I would imagine it would go something like that. And I was thinking because, you know, as you get older, I was thinking about this as I was skiing at Bristol on Saturday.
Which, by the way, you're a pro, so...
I mean, I've been skiing since I was 5, so it's like riding a bike to me.
I know. I just... When you took me skiing last year for the first time,
It was tough for you.
It was tough for me because I so badly wanted to be better than you.
Yeah, it wasn't going to.
But I almost fell off the edge of the cliff.
Yeah, it was really, a lot of waivers were signed. Anyways, I went with a bunch of my friends who are really good at skiing and snowboarding. And my girlfriend's like not as good. She learned maybe like a couple years ago, and she went headfirst into a tree. So,
oh, good. Who's better?
She's a little traumatized.
Who's better at skiing, myself or her?
Her, for sure. She has a lot more years under you, but nevertheless, she is a little nervy, which I understand. But I was thinking, like, why is it when you're younger, it's easier for you to comprehend and learn things, right? I think like basic motor skills are, although your brain isn't developed fully, it's easier for you to pick up on things.
Well, I think
like walking and
it's easier to pick up on walking as a child.
I feel as if such because you're fearless as an older adult. There's a lot of things on the line: broken bones, cast for a week, workers' comp.
Breeze. No, that's no. When you're old, you're just not as limber as you used to be. You're just old. Everything hurts. You're tired.
Exactly. So I don't want it to hurt even more. And I was like, why are kids better learners at certain things than adults? And it has to do with brain development. They're more likely to adapt to learning new things. Even though their brain isn't developed, that kind of plays a positive role in it because it's like, oh, so I don't know any different now. Let's just do this. Kids are more curious and more willing to be playful. Like, it's in their nature to explore and experiment and try new things. And they're less self-conscious. They truly could care less, right? Adults don't want to fail. They don't want to look stupid. They don't want to try new things where they're going to hurt themselves or, you know, whatever the case may be. Skiing is one of those things. Well, I think that I would never in my life try to like skateboard or rollerblade at this age. I'm good on that.
I got no problem sharing with you or anyone else. After doing that entire ski session with you last winter, I was sore for 48 hours after that. I fell 8 to 9 times, but getting up took everything inside of me. To get up on skis after you've fallen takes a lot of upper body strength.
It really does.
I do have a couple of regrets in life. Two I can think of at the top of my head. One is I wish I would have tried a little harder to learn Italian when I was a kid. Because my father was speaking it, my grandparents when they were visiting from Italy, my aunts, uncles, they would all be speaking it. And
you, out of everyone, could have learned very easily.
Very easily. My grandmother passed away in 2011. She's still probably pissed at me today.
I'm sure she is.
That I don't know the language, and I've tried learning it. I've downloaded the apps, and it is a lot more difficult today than if I were a kid. I think I would have picked up on it way easier. The other thing is high school football. I think I would have been an all-star running back. I'm sorry. There, I said it.
Too bad you were too busy at your dance recital. You know, sometimes we can't go back and change things. Unfortunately.
I still think about it today. What if I just went and tried out for that football team at Greece Athena? I'm just saying.
You could have been something.
I could have been something.
You wouldn't be here, I'll tell you that
no,
much.
No, I'd be playing for
you'd
the
be
Bills.
On the Packers. Maybe that is true. We don't know that for certain, but things that I feel like we should teach kids at a young age: how to hang a picture frame, how to build a house. If they're really that susceptible to learning new things and they're going to remember this stuff, you know, how to read a blueprint, how to, you know, install crown molding.
How to climb a ladder.
It all just sounds like child labor at this point, but nevertheless, I think it's life skills that they should have.
How to make sneakers in your basement.
Hopefully. Your parents are listening to this right now. They're like, honestly, not a bad idea.
What regrets do you have?
Yeah, I mean, listen.
I know you got a laundry basket.
I know, literally, fully. Not the laundry basket. I honestly feel like I also could have tried harder at learning a language. Instead, I just hired my cousin, who's like 10 years younger than me, to do my homework, and I cheated off the guy next to me.
See, you had the opportunity to take a language in high school. They did not give me that opportunity.
Why?
Because I was in special ed.
They're
I
like,
was also in special ed. That's probably why I had to drop it.
They didn't let me do it.
Grade 10. This is holding you down way too much.
And when I say more like special ed, I mean they put me in a classroom with maybe like 10 of my peers.
Yeah.
That way the teacher can focus more on our needs.
Right.
Like helping me walk to the bathroom, stuff like that.
Walking, just making sure you came back, truly.
So after I became a junior in high school, a lot of the teachers were like, you know what, let's have him get rid of, let's drop special ed from his curriculum and have him just do the regular classes with his friends.
That's where everything went downhill.
No, I did fine. I mean, I graduated as a B student. I think it was just applying more effort. That's what it really came down to.
It's time to take the training wheels off the last year of school.
Yeah.
I love it.
I think that's what it is. But yeah, I could honestly say I've had some regrets. Not learning language when I was a young kid or playing varsity football are two of the big ones. But
I have regrets about things that I tried to learn as an adult. Like, you have no business being on a hoverboard, Breeze. You don't. So get off the hoverboard, take off the rollerblades, all these COVID things that I was trying to do to feel young, to feel something.
Yeah.
I went face first on the gravel. Like, not for me. Not for me. I'll stick to what I know. And yeah, I am proud to be a good skier. I am proud of that.
You are. You're a great skier. You're very athletic. I think as we get older, it's okay to tell yourself there are some things I just can't do anymore.
Yeah. But if you're a parent listening to this right now, start your kids young. Laundry, dishes. You know, they learn things quicker that way. So
yeah, they won't be taking their laundry to their parents' house every single weekend. So
take
their mom
it from me.
Can do their laundry when you're 31.
Take it from me. I'm still 30. Relax.
Take relax. It from me. 30 years old.
And also, not for nothing, but my mom is gone for the majority of the year, so right. I've been doing my laundry alone.
That's why you moved in with
Thank
your girlfriend.
Thank you very much. She refuses to do it too. She's like, I will not enable you.
98PXY.
What's up with people not wanting to get to know their neighbors anymore? Specifically millennials.
You're so mad. You're so mad.
PXY Mornings, Moose Breezy. I tried to be nice yesterday. I just had a brand new couple move in next door to me, and this poor girl cannot cook if her life depended on it, but that's not what the segment is about.
How do you know that?
Well, in the last 2 weeks, everything she has made smells like it's on fire. And the smell is seeping through the vents into my apartment.
Maybe she works for Duncan.
I get home last night and I thought I was going to have to call the fire department. But I'm not going to throw shade on someone.
Yeah, don't judge. I mean, you just had the fire department at your apartment.
It does smell like she is trying her best. After dinner, I go to take the trash out, right? Mm-hmm. I'm leaving my apartment. Both of them are walking into their apartment at the same time.
Oh, so there's two people that live there?
It's a couple.
You're just bitter.
I am. I've enjoyed the last 4 months of peace and quiet. So I said, hey, how are you guys? Just trying to be friendly. And I said, what's for dinner? And the guy looks at me and he goes, what? Went right over his head. I said, I can smell whatever you guys are cooking. It smells great.
No liar.
No response. I'm trying to be friendly, Breezy.
Yeah.
I introduced myself.
They can smell your lies from a mile away.
I introduced myself. I was given a very weak handshake. And in return, we went our own separate ways. As I'm walking away, I turn around. I said, oh, by the way. And they slammed the door on my face. And I was going to say, what I was going to say was, if I'm ever being too loud, you know, with the TV or the music, just give me a heads up. It's no problem. I'll turn it down. I didn't get a chance to say that, though. And I'm like, you know, I walked away a little bitter. I'm like, not very friendly.
No.
Not very warming. It wasn't a warm greeting. And I was like, I just noticed a trend that nobody talks to anyone anymore. Everyone is a complete zombie. It's so sad. I did my laundry on Sunday. It's me and some other guy down there. Okay? I said, hey, good morning. How you doing, man? Couldn't even make eye contact with me. He struggled to barely get any words out. He said, hey.
Yeah.
What?
I just want to talk to you.
I just don't get it. When I moved into my place, not a single person knocked on my door with baked goods.
No.
Not a single cookie was brought to my door. I said, well, I guess it's just not that type of building.
You live in the middle of downtown Rochester. No one's doing that. Sorry.
Why not?
The only thing they're doing to get to know you is breaking into your car. Respectfully, of course.
I just don't understand. This seems, because all of these people are my age. Is it a millennial thing? Do neighbors not like to meet and greet anymore? Hey, welcome to the neighborhood. I tried
to. We are so, as millennials, we are so anti keeping up with the Joneses. We won't have any part of it. So much so that we're not even going to address the people around us because I don't want to know your life. I don't care to know your life.
I thought that was a Gen Z thing, not a millennial thing. I'm the opposite of that.
Well, you're on the cusp.
I invited my gay my gay neighbors upstairs from me. I was like, you guys should come down to do a dinner party. I'm going to host. They're like, we would love that. And I'm like, okay, see?
Block's number.
Now I get to make some friends in the building. I was like, this is what I'm looking for.
How did that go?
I'm still, you know.
Yeah, it's.
We threw out some date and times. It's not working yet. Yeah. We'll figure out it.
I think that's a them and.
No.
Situation.
No. No, that's not true.
Yeah.
We're all very friendly with each other when we see one another. But I'm just the type of person where it's like, yeah, I like to, you know, extend an olive branch.
Well, let's just say the last people that lived there, you didn't extend that olive branch. You were
calling
the cops on them. So maybe they know.
Very different story.
Maybe the new neighbors know that you are a little bit of a rat. You know?
Well, when you're slapping around a woman on the other side of the wall, the alarm bells go off.
Yeah, fully.
Jen says, I have to be social all day at work, Moose. I'm the face of my facility. So I always have to be on and talking with people. I don't want to talk to anyone when I leave work. I want to watch Netflix, eat my pasta with my two cats, and call it a night. Please leave me alone. Okay.
This person says, when my brother and I moved into our apartment, our neighbors gave us a candle, card, gift card, and got my dog a toy. I guess you got to move to Fairport, Moose.
Oh my God. What building are you in?
Wow.
I want gifts. Greg says, I sat on the porch in Irondequoit with my spouse on Halloween with candy, music, and a big cooler of spiked cider for soon-to-be friends, and all I got was two kids and a wave from the same oldie that walks around the neighborhood every day. Not a single friend was made that night.
No.
And I'm sorry, Greg. I don't know what it is, man.
They're not into it.
Why?
Let's just call a spade a spade. Listen.
If you and I were neighbors, and I came...
Can't even dread the thought. Continue.
Are you kidding me? You would be over every night. What are you making?
I don't
what are you
think
cooking?
So.
Yeah, you would. Yeah,
you would. Don't know what I do at home, okay? I go home and I rot. I don't leave. My girlfriend's like, take the trash out. I'm like, over my dead body. No, thank you. You think I'm stepping outside in this weather? No, thank you.
This just could never be me. I'm sorry. I'm too social for this. Good morning, guys. I'm tired. I have three kids, work a full-time job. I have a first responder husband, and I'm pretty introverted. We're on good terms with our boomer neighbors. We say hi. We do a little chit-chat. But that's all the time or energy I have, to be honest. Oh, my God.
I'm social all day. The last thing I want to do is come home and be social.
Right,
neighbor, oh, my God. My new neighbor creeps me out so much.
Who is he?
He literally just like, he paces the parking lot, which is so bizarre. And then he comes inside like on Saturday or Sunday over the weekend. He came inside and just started looking out the window of the lobby. And I'm like trying to dart around him. And then I get upstairs and I'm looking over the way and I'm like, what are you doing? Now he's just looking outside, goes outside. It's the weirdest. He was looking at the mailboxes to see if anyone else had mail.
When he's looking out the window, does he hold one arm behind the back like this?
Yes. Yes.
That's
he's
me.
A weirdo.
That's me.
Yeah, no. You are the neighbor that of my nightmares.
Let me tell you something. Everyone is just so tired and too busy until they need something. Okay? I'm waiting for this guy to come knocking on my door asking for a fire extinguisher when his girlfriend burns the building down from her cooking. And that's what's going to happen. I mean, like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
Moose is like, let it burn. Let it burn.
No. I'm just trying to make some friends. That's all I'm trying to do. I'm trying to be nice.
Why do you need any more friends?
They're my neighbors. I'm going to see them all the time. Just trying to be friendly.
I feel like that's the one group of people you shouldn't be friends with, because sometimes people overstay their welcome. They get too comfortable. They're coming in.
Who's coming into my place?
If you open that door just a crack, they could bust through it. Not for me.
I've always dreamed about living a Seinfeld life where I have a Kramer neighbor who's always dropping by, doesn't even knock, just comes in. I was like, I wonder what that would look like.
It'd be miserable. I'll just give you a glimpse. It'd be absolutely miserable.
Here's an idea. Be a part of the show. Call or text Moose and Breezy now. 585-252-9800.
The number one hit music station. 98 PXY.
It's everyone's favorite festival coming back to life with a brand new title sponsor. The Rochester International Jazz Festival is now under the sponsorship of Rochester Regional Health. That's a new one for sure. The festival producers announced this sponsorship earlier this morning on Tuesday, that the Rochester International Jazz Festival is partnering with Rochester Regional Health. Founding sponsor M&T Bank will continue to be a presenting sponsor, but has dropped down a tier. RGH has been supporting the festival since 2010, which is great. So got 15 years under your belt there of really just knowing exactly what this festival is about, enough so to be the head sponsor. They're also going to be introducing an LED dance floor and life-size jazz logo photo op opportunity, so that'll be really cool.
Oh, you had me at dance floor.
Yes, the LED dance floor. and the newly named festival will run from June 20th to June 28th in downtown Rochester.
I love the Jazz Fest. Did you go last summer?
Yeah.
You didn't go.
I can't remember. I genuinely can't remember.
I had a blast. I'm just thinking about the warm weather now. It seems like it was so long ago. Most likely because this winter has just been brutal. But Jazz Fest just screams good times, warm weather, good drinks.
Absolutely.
Brutal. And now that you got an LED dance floor. Oh,
watch,
we are
going
to make some serious memories at Jazz Fest.
Oh, yes, we will. Very excited for that.
There's two types of people in this world, you guys. Those who love blocking other people and erasing them out of their lives, or the people who just refuse to block anyone because they so badly want others just to see how great they're doing. Which one are you?
Very true.
Which one are you?
I bet you can't guess who I am.
No, of course not. We'll talk about all of this coming up right after the break on PXY Mornings.
98 PXY is free and always will be.
PXY Mornings, Moose, Breezy, welcome to the show. Does anyone know, when did blocking someone become an acceptable way of ending things with them instead of talking things through? Because that just seems to feel like the new norm today.
Or you do talk things through, you seem fine, and then the block comes out of nowhere. It's wild.
Now, if you were in a very bad toxic relationship, yeah, that's understandable.
For sure.
That's totally fair. However, I've met people in my day who feel that shutting people out and blocking them from every platform is the answer, when in reality, it does seem a little extreme.
Yeah, it's nutty, in my opinion. It's something that I'm going through right now. So this happened way long ago, right? Like, I've been with my girlfriend for
almost a year now. Yeah,
right.
Moved in, pregnant, engaged.
Yeah, fully pregnant, fully engaged. It's all the things, right? But it was over the fall. My ex and I were in a wedding together. We have a mutual friend. And, like, it was all gravy. Like, it was all good. Like, we were good. Like, we followed you. Like, we had broken up, but
it's awkward, but you said the hello. You did the whole thing.
We did the whole thing. And, like, it was awkward, but, like, it got to the point where it wasn't. And it was totally, like, kosher and cool. And we still followed each other on Instagram. Like, there was no
bad blood on my end or her end either, because she stated, like, it's all good, right? So maybe like a month or two after said wedding, I get blocked on everything.
She blocked you on everything.
Everything. After like stating, like, we're cool, like, whatever. Instagram, Facebook, Venmo, LinkedIn, MyFitnessPal. I'm like, wait, what? Like, what happened, right? Like, nothing happened. There was no communication or anything of the sort. So I was just, like, super rattled about it. But I got over it. It is what it is. Like, you do what you need to do. Let them, right?
What kind of message is somebody sending you when they block you on MyFitnessPal?
It's the biggest virtual F you probably ever.
It's ridiculous.
The reason I'm rattled about it currently, although it happened 6 months ago.
Yeah.
Is because I have to see this person.
When?
Next two Sundays from now.
Oh, that's going to be fun.
We have a shower that we have to go to for a mutual friend.
Well, isn't that awkward for them?
And now it's like, well, now you like blocked me, so you can't block me in real life. Like,
no,
I'm here.
You're going to be at the same exact shower.
So I'm like, I don't really know what to do, because here's the other part of it. I sold some of her things. She like moved away and I sold it. And like, we had a conversation like way, way, way back. Like, hey, I'll sell this for you and I'll give you half. I went to literally go Venmo her half and I was like, oh, I'm blocked.
Can't
like, I guess I can't give you the money. So
which type of person are you? 585-252-9800. Do you block someone after the relationship is over?
I would never do that. I would never do that.
Do you block them on all platforms? Let us know. Leslie is here this morning. Good morning, Moose and Breezy.
So weird.
Whether it's a trigger to an early trauma or not, blocking in most cases is just childish and a sign the relationship has no healthy avenues of communication. Healthy, stable people communicate, not block.
It's very weird.
It goes both ways.
Very weird.
PXY, hello. What's your name?
What's up? It's Trevor.
What up, Trevi? The Trevinator.
Talk to us.
Yeah. So, guys, don't do this. Calling about your guys' topic about blocking people. And I'm telling you that this is a female trait for sure.
Men do not block women. Only. Yep. But what makes you say that?
I mean, men could care less if a woman blocks you or not. I mean, we're not that petty. Let's be real.
Fair
enough. Almost every past relationship I've had, like my ex blocked me, and for no other reason than she just wanted to get over me quicker, which I mean, honestly, I understand, because it's hard to have my handsome face pop up in your feed every day.
All right, Trev. Trevi.
So you've been blocked every relationship you've been in. Oh, maybe we got to read between the lines here. What do you think's really going on?
Personally, I think it says everything about the person who does it.
What do you mean by that?
Like who do they think that they're hurting? Like personally, I refuse to block anyone because I'd rather them see me living my best life. You know what I mean?
That is fair enough.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. That's fair.
I don't know. I think that, you know, when you block someone online, I think it's the biggest virtual F you can probably do. I really do. And I mean, like, one platform, two platforms, three platforms, they literally hate you and want you dead.
Trevor, have you ever experienced someone going as far as blocking you on Venmo?
Oh my gosh, every relationship.
Right.
Dude, they block you on everything. What do you do to these
women?
Maybe
we're dating the same person. Listen, I understand exactly what you're saying because I've been through it, obviously, but I do feel like guys do this. You're sitting here taking the high road and you're like, we're not that petty. I've met a lot of petty guys and they've definitely blocked a broad or two. Let me just say that.
Sure, sure.
Breezy, you literally can't have that take. You're gay.
Oh.
What is
okay.
Trevor, what does that have to do with anything?
Like, you just wouldn't understand, like, the way that it actually is for straight people.
Oh, wow.
No, not me living on a different planet.
I'm crawling under the desk right now.
No, fully.
The homophobia is shining through.
Hold on a second. Let me get comfortable.
Okay. First of all, Trevor, I feel like I would understand even more because not only am I a lesbian, but I also have a ton of straight friends who have been through some gnarly breakups. So that's where you're wrong. Also, you know that handsome face you were talking about popping up on your ex's feed? I don't know if it's that handsome anymore. I just don't. And I kind of see why they blocked you, if I'm being honest.
Look, I'm not trying to be disrespectful. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, do you girls think that, like, I just, like, would run into my room and get into, like, a field position when I found out, like, that someone I don't even care about blocked me on Instagram? Like, it's comical.
You're a lesbian, respectfully. Like, right.
It's comical. Are you serious? Like, I'm out here. I'm working. I'm busy living my life. And then some women are just, they have a hard time controlling their emotions and they just block me. And it's like some big F you, like you said, and it's not. Nobody cares. It's not normal, period.
Listen, Trevor, I totally understand where you're coming from and I get what you're saying. But let's take some accountability here. And
right.
If there's none to take, that's fair. So be it. But is there any other reason that every relationship you've been in, is there some sort of other reason they could be blocking you? Because this sounds like a trend. Can you think of maybe anything at all that you could be doing or saying? Anything?
No. No, I can't.
I could come up with a thing or two, and I've only known you for 5 minutes.
Okay. All right. That's great. All right. Well, thanks for the call, man.
Well, we're going to let you go. I'm going to go be gay upstairs.
Yeah.
And we're gonna circle back to some of your exes tomorrow.
Yeah. I think I'm going to be gay today, too. Bye, Trevor.
Have fun. All right. See you guys.
I'm telling you to have fun being gay. There's a lot of texts coming in.
This person? If I could jump through the phone right now and strangle this guy, I would.
Yeah.
Hold on a second. In that guy Trevor's defense, I don't think I know any men who have ever blocked me or any of my friends. I think when you block someone, you are trying to make a statement that you are officially done with that person.
Well, there's a lot of girls weighing in. Jenna from Trilai said, my ex-boyfriend has me, my sisters, my mom, and my grandma blocked. So bye, Trevor. Not the grandma.
The grandma!
Grandma Betsy didn't do anything to you. And this person says, I'm calling BS. Men totally do this.
If someone ghosts or blocks you, it is more of a reflection on their character than yours. Take it as a dodge bullet and move on, says Chelsea. But blocking the grandma?
Blocking the grandma's crazy.
It's a lot.
Also, blocking someone on Venmo, you're shooting yourself in the foot. Because I was trying to pay her. Trevor sounds like he looks like David Letterman. There, I said it. What?
All right.
What?
Well, Breezy and I are going to take a couple of minutes, go upstairs and be gay together. We'll be right back.
Oh my God, love it.
98PXY.
PXY Mornings with Moose and Breezy, 46 for the high today. So we have a single mom, Jessie, from Farmington, who says being a single mom is tough because she can't seem to get her ex on the same page with her when it comes to how to parent their daughter. It's causing a lot of friction. Take a listen to the message from Jessie. Hi, Moose and Breezy. Started listening to you guys about a year ago. Love the show.
Thank you.
So my situation is when my 13-year-old is with her father, unlimited screen time. She genuinely eats nothing aside from junk food while in his care. She has no bedtime, no responsibilities. And while I am well aware that I cannot monitor nor control what goes on when she is away from me, this causes frequent conflicts between her and me because she also wants to have unlimited screen time, junk food, and no responsibilities at home. Months back, I created a very clear list of what I expect from her day in and day out. And this list includes a few additional things to be done once a week. It's all basic stuff, you guys. For example, brush your teeth, straighten your bed up, comb your hair, eat breakfast, shower. One day a week, she's expected to do basic chores, her own laundry, putting away the laundry. And that may already have, putting away the laundry, yada, yada, yada. For each task that is completed, she gets a token. She can then use the tokens to buy screen time. If she were to do everything on that daily list, she would have enough tokens for 45 minutes of screen time. However, she typically only does a few things on the list, and it winds up about only 20 minutes of screen time a day. When it's time to shut it off, she does one of two things. She begins loudly pleading with me, swearing that she will do anything to have more screen time. Alternatively, she complains and whines and tries to turn things around on me, indicating that I am too strict of a mom and that I don't always get all of my stuff done either, and I expect too much of her.
Right.
All of the kids at her school get to use their phones as much as they want, right up until they go to bed at night, etc. I try hard not to engage in disagreements with her, though she does not give up easily. I am open to any suggestions. How can I improve this situation? I would love to hear about anything any of you have tried and had at least some success with. Thanks, Moose and Breezy. All right, that came in from Jesse from Farmington.
Interesting.
There's no way I see any of this improving unless she gets on the same page with her ex, which is not, may not be the case, but her daughter's always going to view her as the bad guy.
Right. Correct.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, listen, co-parenting is hard because it can play a massive role in the child's development, because if you can't get on the same page on how you're raising said child, it's not going to be good for the child and their boundaries and their limits and things of that nature. Because it's like what we talked about with the grandparents, right? Although grandparents aren't necessarily raising said child, if you go to grandma's and there's no rules and then you come back,
yeah,
the expectation is to have no rules.
You start,
that's just how it is.
You start having a little resentment towards mom.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go to dad's house.
Yeah.
Guys, we could use your help on this one this morning. Jesse would love to hear from you. 585-252-9800 for Parental Confidential. Would love for you to weigh in on the phone or the text line. Carrie is here first, and she says, I can see why it's causing so much friction. You're trying to set reasonable expectations and create a balanced structure for her, but the difference between your home and her dad's, it's going to be a constant battle. You have to have a conversation with her dad about this. At all costs.
Absolutely. The dad is doing not only himself, but you and his daughter a disservice by not being on the same page with you. And sometimes when parents butt heads, when they're co-parenting, they want to be the good cop. They want to be the good guy. They want to be the one that the kid runs to. But here's the situation. Your child is going to resent you for implementing structure into her life, the one thing that she actually needs to grow up and develop and to be like a civil member of society.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate, but that's the truth.
Mm-hmm. Let's go over to Steph, Sarah. Just wanted to tell this mom she's doing a great job. I know it's exhausting to constantly enforce limits when she's pushing back so hard, but you're doing a great job holding your boundaries. And even if she doesn't see it now, she will likely appreciate it later on as she gets older.
Mm-hmm.
Let me take some of these calls coming in. PXY, what's your name?
Hi, this is Tanya.
Hi, Tanya. Do you have a comment on this?
I did. First of all, I want to let the mom know that she's doing a great job. I'm actually a co-parenting with someone right now as well, and we don't always agree on everything.
Right.
One thing I want to say is with her daughter, depending on the age, I didn't actually hear the age, but I have a 13-year-old. She'll be 13 next month.
She's also 13, Jesse's daughter.
Okay. That's perfect. I think it's really crucial right now with their development, with their, I know Breezy was talking about their development and everything. Mm-hmm. A lot of it with co-parenting is reaching out to friends and finding a lot of comfort in, you know, similar situations that friends have. I know my daughter's found a lot of similar situations with her friends, and she's found comfort in that, and
right,
using her phone and being on the phone with different friends and stuff, that's helped her a lot. So I feel monitoring it, you know, it appropriately is huge, and letting her have a little bit of extra freedom right now might not be a bad idea to let her, you know, get through this the way she needs to.
Right.
Yeah, you know, I'm just going to come out and say it. Nothing against Jesse here in her parenting, but 45 minutes of screen time per day does not sound like a lot.
Right. At least bump it up to an hour.
It does not sound like a lot. You know, while I have you on the phone, I'm sorry, you said your name is Tanya?
Yeah, it is.
Tanya, tell me what you think about this message. Steph is weighing in right now, and she says, from my perspective, this is humiliating to a 13-year-old.
I would feel that way in her situation too. The feeling would be different if you said, hey, we're living here together. We need to take care of this place together. Let's discuss how to share the task. What do you think can be done? But you're forcing her to clean just to get a lousy 45 minutes of screen time. And it's not enough, in my opinion.
Right.
Is it humiliating, though?
It is. And you know what? It's crazy because I'm a parent of a child. Like I said, she's 13. She does a ton of sleepovers.
Yeah.
I support the sleepovers at my house because I know that I can monitor them appropriately. And, you know, they have their freedom, but they also, they call me hover mom once in a while. And, you know, they'll laugh it off and joke it off. And I say to them, it's because I love you. I care about you. I want to make sure that you're not doing anything that could hurt you. I mean, the kids get caught, you know, vaping or they're smoking and everybody is so quick to punish them.
Right.
And I think it's so important to find out, you know, are they addicted to this? Are there options? Are they getting it from somewhere? You know, I feel like everything is a punishment nowadays. I'm a parent first and a friend second. And my daughter knows that if it ever comes down to being her parent, I'm always, always going to choose that. Mad at me or not, you'll get over it.
Fair enough.
Has to be that way.
Fair enough.
So I also want to be your friend, you know.
I 100% side with you on that. You said your daughter's 13. Is she and her friends vaping and smoking?
Well, no. They had a situation where they got caught, and it was a big punishment. Everyone's phones got taken away, and then they couldn't, you know, talk to the other parent. And,
right.
You know, a lot of these children are in co-parenting situations.
Sure.
They might want to reach out to the other parent and ask for advice, or, you know, reach out to a friend and ask for advice. And I don't think using the phone as a weapon necessarily, you know, and per se a weapon. I don't mean to say that, you know, that's necessarily what the mom's doing. I'm sure she's doing a great job.
Yeah.
You know, it's very hard to make these differentiations between what's, you know, normal amount of screen time compared to not. I'm caught somewhere between an 80s and a 90s baby, so I don't use my phone like that. But
right.
You know, these kids rely on their phones nowadays. So, yes, humiliation is absolutely in play, Moose, to answer your question.
Okay.
Absolutely in play. It is. It's humiliating because these kids all have access to their phones at all times. Some of them are talking overnight to their friends. They're staying on the phones overnight. It's comforting.
They sleep on the phone with their friends. It's on FaceTime. It's crazy.
Tanya, thank you so much for weighing in this morning. I appreciate that. And let me go over to Mike's text real quick, who says, it sounds like she's old enough to have a conversation about why you have these rules. Not as punishment, but because you care about her well-being. Also, I have two kids. I personally don't think 45 minutes is a lot of screen time. If it was 2 hours, it would most likely be more of an incentive for her to actually want to do her chores. Interesting.
Right.
Thank you guys for weighing in this morning.
This is interesting for sure. And I feel like it's like not an isolated issue. I feel like a lot of people deal with this who are in co-parenting situations.
One last text message that says this is a conversation that needs to be had with her father. And as a mom who's had to co-parent, this will never work for you. If you were her dad, don't get on the same page. I've seen this before. And if he is allowing her to do whatever she wants, when she wants to do it, you will always be looked at as the bad guy. All right. Thanks for the messages, guys. It's another Parental Confidential on PXY. Jesse, best of luck. Appreciate your message. We're going to take a quick break. PXY Mornings, Moose Breezy, 46 for the high today. A week has passed since correction officers across New York State walked off the job in a strike deemed illegal by state officials. This was a no-no. They were not supposed to do this, but they did it. And mediation between the involved parties resumed yesterday morning, according to the Department of Corrections and Community Supervision. Now, in response to the strike, more than 6,500 National Guard members have been deployed to maintain security in order in these facilities. The strike involved, we're talking about 38 of the state's 42 prisons. Had led some workers being served with temporary restraining orders to halt their participation. So basically, there's going to be consequences. And concerns have been raised over correction officers reportedly working, you're talking several 24-hour shifts, consecutively due to staff shortages. You can't, in an environment like that, you can't work that long.
Right.
There's no way. One retired sergeant from a correctional facility said, at some point in time, you get tired. And when you're a tired officer, you're a tired sergeant,
And that creates an even more dangerous situation because you're not fully aware of your surroundings. So negotiations between the state and the union representing the guards, this began on Friday. But the state has labeled the strike illegal, and they are arguing that it undermines the safety of correction officers currently on the job, inmates, and then the communities where the prisons are located. So over the weekend, the Department of Corrections announced that any officer failing to report to work is considered absent, without leave, and will be docked a day's pay for every day that they stay on strike.
Well, that's not good.
Those participating in the illegal job action could face penalties, including termination, and then, of course, discipline for violating the state's Taylor law and the temporary restraining order. A few hundred people, a few hundred correction officers went back to work last week ahead of the deadline, but so many of them are still picketing, not doing it. I always thought I was going to make a really great correctional officer. At one point in time when I was looking for work desperately, that was an option I considered.
Right, of course. I don't see it.
I don't understand.
I don't see it.
No?
No. I don't. You'd be like, I mean, well, if we're going to base anything off of your one run-in with the law at CVS, you guys can go. Go ahead. Head on out. Thank you so much.
Sounds to me like you're looking in all the wrong places.
Oh, God. Please don't flex.
All right, shoot us a text or call, 585-252-9800 for There I Said It. Breezy and I are going to get to all of your messages, all of your unpopular opinions, and of course, all of your hot takes coming up next. Stay there.
98PXY is free and always will be. Want to clear the air? Need to get something off your chest? Go on, try it. You want to feel the heat as it comes out of your mouth. My mother-in-law's cooking is mediocre at best. If young adults want to start buying their own homes, maybe they should stop ordering avocado toast. I, for the life of me, can't believe Odyssey Management gave these two clowns their own show. There. I said it. Now, doesn't that feel better? BXY Mornings with Moose and Breezy present There I Said It on the number one hip music station. 98 PXY.
Look at all these pissed off people today. 585-252-9800 for There I Said It. It is time to clear
the air, baby.
On PXY, Cheryl is weighing in first. 585-252-9800. You guys can hit us up on the phone or text line. If your boss asks you why you're late, the last thing you should think about doing is coming up with excuses, because work ethic is in the toilet today. There, I said it.
Okay.
All right, Cheryl. Yeah.
Very passionate. Let's just go to like maybe a...
She's a manager for sure.
Yeah. Let's go to a softer take, shall we?
Somebody pissed her off this morning. Cheryl, fire her or him. Whoever it is, fire them.
Very angry. Couldn't be more angry.
Ask them to write you an email by the end of the day, giving complete detail of what they do on a day-to-day basis.
Okay, Elon Musk. Literally been... Did you know that he's doing that? He sent out like a widespread email.
I think a lot of us at this point are familiar with what's going on with that. And
it's very tough. I would actually like five things that you do by the end of the day as well. Thank you.
Got a lot of mixed reviews on there. You have people saying, you know, can we get a little dignity here on our end? And then you have a majority of people that are saying, listen, if you can't come up with a few things that you do in an email on a week-to-week basis, that's a problem.
Right. Very true. All right. Gary's here. He says, I don't care what anyone says. Ketchup is gross and the most disgusting condiment out there. There, I said it. It's very salty. I will say that. Very salty.
You got to get the organic. Because I'll tell you what, I'm done with Heinz. And I said goodbye to them a year ago. I mean, just look at the first ingredient. It's corn syrup.
I think organic is fake. There, I said it. I think that... People who are like, it's organic, it's, you know, there's no chemicals, everything has chemicals, everything's just giving you cancer.
Wouldn't
so,
you rather?
It's just a price hike for you to pay like $7 more.
Not always. I agree with that when it comes to like vegetables and produce, but wouldn't you rather have tomato as the first ingredient instead of fructose corn syrup?
Yeah, you know. I don't look at the ingredients, so.
Okay.
Hey, whatever.
I also can't read, so.
Oh, we're going so back tough. To, we're going back to you not being able to read. Right.
So tough.
You read that text, okay. Let's go over to Lee. I don't know if anyone told anyone this yet, but smoking cigarettes does not make you look cool, and it never has. There, I said it. Try smoking a cigar instead. Thanks, Lee. Appreciate that.
I'll never get the cig thing. And what? Who was it? Jesse was like, cigarettes are disgusting. Like, couldn't agree with you more.
Do you agree with the fact that a lot of people today are smoking less?
I hope so. I pray, but
I don't see as many people anymore. I mean, we have people in the building here that take cigarette breaks, but I don't see too many people today that really smoke.
We are the only show in this building who doesn't have someone who smokes on it. How crazy is that?
Look how white our teeth are.
I know. Because we're millennials. We know that that's going to kill us. So, all right. Who else is here? There's nothing wrong with being friends with your ex, even close friends. In a new relationship. There, I said it.
As long as they don't block you from every platform. Right, Breezy? Right?
Can't be friends with someone if you're blocked. So,
Sean,
we'll talk about that next. Don't you worry.
Sean says not one good movie. Not one good movie has been nominated for the Oscars this year. And I've watched all of them. There, I said it. Hollywood just isn't what it used to be. It's full of stuck-up pedophiles who think they're a God's gift to entertainment.
Oh my God. Not the stuck-up pedophiles.
Hey, Sean.
Dear.
Well, that's always been Hollywood. That's not nothing new. That just didn't show up on the scene the other day. It's a dark place.
This I agree with wholeheartedly. Movie runtimes are getting out of control. There, I said it. Not every movie needs to be 3 hours long. I would argue that not any movie needs to be 3 hours long. There, I said it.
That's only if you're going to go see a Quentin Tarantino or Michael Scorsese film. 4 hours? Really? I better pack a lunch.
No, literally.
I think mine for today is they just tested a new electric flying car the other day on the streets. And honestly, nobody gives a crap. People can't even drive now. You want to put them in the sky? We don't care. There, I said it. Nobody cares about flying cars. We just want healthcare. That's it.
Yeah, very much so. I'll stand by my take. 10 toes down. Organic is fake. There, I said it.
10 toes down. Hi, good morning, Tanya. You got a there, I said it for today?
I do. I actually, I want to say that not everything has to be posted online. We used to have diaries and journals at one point.
With the lock. With the lock, with the key.
Yes, for real. I said it, and some things should stay that way.
Yeah, for sure.
There, I said it.
There, she said it. Thank you, Tanya.
Growing up, I always wanted a sister because I wanted to be able to break that lock. You know what I mean?
Yes, I grew up with three brothers, so I completely understand what you mean. I couldn't find enough hiding spots.
She's like, I had three locks on my journal.
Wait, Tanya. What was your best hiding spot for your diary?
My best hiding spot, to be honest with you, was at school in my locker.
Oh, you kept it at school? That was probably the
safest
spot.
I actually brought it to school with me. After a while, it got broken into so many times, and it was embarrassing, and a lot of my brothers were friends with, you know, these boys, and it comes up for them, and it was torturous.
You walk into school in the morning, the janitor's reading your diary.
He's like, wait, what?
He's like, I didn't know that about you.
No, literally.
Thanks for the call, Tanya.
Absolutely. You guys are the best. Absolutely the best. Stay the best, please. You guys are, I appreciate your time so much.
We love you.
Thank you. I'm feeling really needy this morning. Yeah. Tell me I'm handsome.
You're so handsome, Moose and Breezy. I adore you. I absolutely adore you. I could not adore you more.
Oh, my God. Thank
we swear, we did not pay this woman to say this.
No. What was your Venmo again, Tanya?
You did not pay me at all to say this. I listen to you guys every single morning. I've listened to you for years. I've been a co-parent for many years, and I've had so many relatable situations that you've come up with. It's insane. I adore you guys.
Oh, my God. Thanks, you're the best. Thank you.
Have a great day, guys.
You too, Tanya.
Bye.
Bye. What a sweetie. Yeah. I'm feeling so pumped up right now.
No, I literally could run through a brick wall.
PXY Mornings, Moose, Breezy, Breeze. Does anyone know when did blocking someone become an acceptable way of ending things instead of talking it through? I know it seems to be the new norm today, if you ask me.
Yeah, very much so normal. But I think it gets even weirder when you have ended things and you end on good terms and then the block happens.
Unless it was, you know, very toxic, then that's totally fair.
Right.
Cutting someone out, you know, you be the judge of that. But Breezy's ex blocked her on all platforms. We found this out earlier. And we're talking about MyFitnessPal. All platforms.
Venmo. Venmo was crazy because I feel as if I owed her money and I went to go pay her and the block was brought to life.
And so you couldn't pay her.
And I couldn't pay her. And I was like, well, that's on you. There's, you know, what I mean?
Definitely a silver lining here.
The issue I'm having here is it's not so much the block that's annoying me. It's the fact that we ended on amicable terms and I have to see her in like 2 weeks.
Where?
At a mutual friend's bridal shower.
Oh, the bridal shower.
And I'm like,
shower.
Now this is so, like, it didn't have to be this weird, but now it is this weird because you went rogue and block. Like,
people.
I think unfollowing is one thing, but the block is, like, crazy on all platforms, my opinion.
Well, I think it's a last ditch effort to say a big F you.
Yeah, it's like the biggest virtual F you one can do.
I've met people in my day who feel that shutting people out and blocking them from every platform is the answer. When in reality, it seems extreme, but people do it. Which type of person are you? 585-252-9800. Do you block someone after the relationship is over? Do you block them on all platforms?
I would never in a million years block an ex on anything. I want them to see how well I'm doing.
Of course, you and a lot of people. We already know that.
You know?
You're not blocking anybody.
What's the point?
Leslie sexing in. Good morning, Moose and Breezy. Whether it's a trigger to an early trauma or not, blocking in most cases is just childish and a sign of the relationship not having any healthy avenues of communication.
Because here's the situation. You can block someone all you want, and I think that's more for the principle of the message that you're trying to send. Mm-hmm. But I know late at night when you're regretting all life decisions, you can still look that person up. Like, be so for real.
How do you look them up?
Especially me. Like, my account's not private. Like,
oh, yeah. You know, and don't get me wrong.
Like,
I think
I'm a public figure. Like, what?
I think there's a lot of people who do this to make sure that it's their way of trying to get over someone quicker.
Maybe.
And if they're reminded of the fact that this person, you being this person who's with someone new and living this extraordinary life, you're very happy now, you've moved on, I don't think they want to be reminded of that.
Yeah, maybe not.
Some people, that's
how
they operate.
But here's the sitch. You can't block me in real life, so
healthy.
See you soon.
Healthy, stable people communicate, you guys, not block, but it goes both ways. That's so true. Let's go to the phones. Hi, PXY, what's your name?
Sup, it's Trevor.
What up, Trevi? The Trevinator.
Talk to us.
Yeah, so guys, don't do this. Calling about your guys' topic about blocking people. And I'm telling you that this is a female trait for sure.
Men, okay. Do not block women. Only. Yep. But what makes you say that?
I mean, men could care less if a woman blocks you or not. I mean, we're not that petty. Let's be real.
Fair
enough. Almost every past relationship I've had,
yeah,
like my ex blocked me, and for no other reason than she just wanted to get over me quicker. Which, I mean, honestly, I understand because it's hard to have my handsome face pop up in your feed every day.
All right, Trev. Trevi.
So you've been blocked every relationship you've been in. Oh, maybe we got to read between the lines here. What do you think's really going on?
Personally, I think it says everything about the person who does it.
What do you mean by that?
Like who do they think that they're hurting? Like personally, I refuse to block anyone because I'd rather them see me living my best life. You know what I mean?
That's fair enough.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. That's fair.
I don't know. I think that, you know, when you block someone online, I think it's the biggest virtual F you can probably do. I really do. And I mean, like, one platform, yeah, two platforms, three platforms, they literally hate you and want you dead.
Trevor, have you ever experienced someone going as far as blocking you on Venmo?
Oh my gosh, every relationship.
Right.
Dude, they block you on everything. What do you do to these
Maybe
women?
Maybe we're dating the same person.
Listen, I understand exactly what you're saying because I've been through it, obviously, but I do feel like guys do this. You're sitting here taking the high road and you're like, we're not that petty. I've met a lot of petty guys and they've definitely blocked a broad or two. Let me just say that.
Sure, sure.
Breezy, you literally can't have that take. You're gay.
Oh.
What is okay. Trevor, what does that have to do with anything?
Like, you just wouldn't understand, like, the way that it actually is for straight people.
No, not me living on a different planet.
I'm crawling under the desk right now.
No, fully. The homophobia is shining through.
Hold on a second. Let me get comfortable.
Okay, first of all, Trevor, I feel like I would understand even more because not only am I a lesbian, but I also have a ton of straight friends who have been through some gnarly breakups. So that's where you're wrong. Also, you know that handsome face you were talking about popping up on your ex's feed? I don't know if it's that handsome anymore. I just don't. And I kind of see why they blocked you, if I'm being honest.
Look, I'm not trying to be disrespectful. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, do you girls think that, like, I just, like, would run into my room and get into, like, a field position when I found out, like, that someone I don't even care about blocked me on Instagram? Like, it's comical.
You're a lesbian, respectfully. Like, right.
It's comical. Are you serious? Like, I'm out here. I'm working. I'm busy living my life. And then some women are just, they have a hard time controlling their emotions and they just block me. And it's like some big F you, like you said, and it's not, nobody cares. It's not normal, period.
Listen, Trevor, I totally understand where you're coming from and I get what you're saying, but let's take some accountability here. And
right.
If there's none to take, that's fair, so be it. But is there any other reason that every relationship you've been in, is there some sort of other reason they could be blocking you? Because
right.
This sounds like a trend.
Can you
think of maybe anything at all that you could be doing or saying? Anything?
No. No, I can't.
I could come up with a thing or two, and I've only known you for 5 minutes.
Okay. All right. That's great. All right. Well, thanks for the call, man.
Well, we're going to let you go. I'm going to go be gay upstairs.
Yeah.
And we're gonna circle back to some of your exes tomorrow.
Yeah. I think I'm going to be gay today, too. Bye, Trevor.
Have fun. All right. See you guys.
There are so many women on the text line that just want to beg to differ with Trevor. Jenna from Tri-Life says,
Yikers.
My ex-boyfriend has me, my sisters, my mom, and my grandma blocked. So bye, Trevor.
Who's blocking grams?
Also very impressive that grandma's even on any form of any social media, but pop all the way off.
What does that conversation even look like? Grandma, Nathan just blocked you.
What?
Nathan blocked you.
Blocked me?
Who are you hurting?
I mean,
Grams doesn't know where she is.
That's insane. This person says, Trevor is wrong. I am a female and I have been blocked by every male ex that I've ever had.
Every single male ex. Text message coming in from a Janine who says, in that guy Trevor's defense, I don't think I know any men who have ever blocked me or any of my girlfriends. I think when you block someone, you are trying to make a statement that you are officially done with that person.
And we'll leave it with this text. My mom is 70 and blocks me anytime she's upset with me. It's crazy. That's insane. No, that's insane.
That's wild. People don't care.
I don't know what's more insane, that the mom blocks her daughter every time she's upset, or the fact that the mom's 70 and still knows how to use social media. Pop all the way off.
Yeah, good for you. All right, Breezy and I, we're going to take a quick break, run upstairs, and be gay together.
I can't wait.
Something to say? Call or text Moose and Breezy now. 585-252-9800.
The number one hit music station, 98
PXY. PXY Mornings, Moose, Breezy. Let's get right into it.
98PXY's Moose and Breezy invite you to grab your popcorn. Get comfortable in your seat. Because Breezy's about to break down a classic she somehow missed over the last quarter century. It's Breezy's Big Movie Review.
Action! A lot of our listeners thought Breezy crushed her performance yesterday with The Peanut Butter Falcon, starring Shia LaBeouf and Zach Gotts again. Pretty sure that's
so
that.
Close. Wait.
This was a film about friendship, love, and then just running away from one's problems to live out their dreams.
Mm-hmm.
What's the question?
So go into it a little more. We'll get into it in the review.
Yeah. Well, before we break down your review, let's take a listen to us acting out a scene from the film yesterday on Mooster Peace Theater.
Not that it's any of your business, but I do care about him. I care about him a lot, and he's alone, and I want to find him.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe what?
Well, maybe he's alone, maybe he isn't. You don't know. Maybe he's out there living the American dream, and he just ran into a bunch of hitchhikers, like Mark Twain or something like that. You like Mark Twain?
Wow.
You got a phone number or something?
Yeah, I got a phone number.
Yeah? You going to give it to me? So if I find him, what do you want me to do? Just holler for you?
Yeah, just do that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That wasn't in the script, so.
You got a name?
It's Eleanor.
I'm looking forward to hollering at you.
Just help me find my friend, okay? Oh, God. Just help me find my friend. I'm just not some wham bam thank you name. I just find my friend.
See ya.
Cut. See ya. All right.
Literally wasn't in the script. I watched the scene. Didn't happen like that. You added lines. Not you changing the original script to the movie.
What are we
just adding lines now?
I honestly think that version would have won an Oscar. Rotten Tomatoes scored this 95% because it was a really good movie. But let's break it down for a second. After running away from a residential nursing home to pursue his dream of becoming a pro wrestler, a man who has Down syndrome befriends an outlaw who becomes his coach and ally. Just an awesome film. I love this film. Breezy, did this movie hold up, yes or no?
Well, I'm going to say no. First of all, why was the child, well, he wasn't really a child, he was more of a young adult. The young adult with Down syndrome living in a retirement community.
Adult home.
Okay.
They were looking after him
okay.
at this home.
On the side of the bus, it said retirement community. I was like, okay.
He escaped.
We're not sure. Also, my next question was, did this actor actually have Down syndrome? Or
what?
Was he just acting?
No, my God. Is that a serious question?
Well, I went to his Wikipedia, and there wasn't any other, like, he wasn't in a lot of other things.
No.
This was, like, his breakout role.
That's right, yes. He has Down syndrome.
I'm just saying... the acting was so good, I genuinely couldn't tell the difference.
He was great in this movie.
He was brilliant.
But Shia LaBeouf took this young kid under his wing, and when you're working with really great talent, you know, you become a product of your environment.
Very much so.
All right, let's get to the first question here. Breezy, favorite character of the Peanut Butter Falcon?
I think it had to have been Zach.
Yeah, he's one of my favorites, too, in the film.
Literally played himself.
Did you...
Didn't change his name whatsoever.
Least favorite?
I don't know. I kind of liked all of them. I don't think I really had a least favorite in this movie.
You liked everyone.
I did. I mean, Eleanor could be annoying, but, like, she was cool.
I have a huge crush on that actress.
Dakota Johnson?
I love her.
She's definitely had some redemption moments since 50 Shades.
That's right. She was in 50 Shades. I just like her character in this film.
I do too.
And she's beautiful.
Very likable. Very likable.
What was your favorite scene?
Well, I mean, I was very thrown off when I got to our scene and it was nothing like you had written out.
You know what? You played it the way you wanted to play it.
No, I played it the way that you told me, and I read as best I could.
And you did a great job. Thank you so much.
They were literally flirting in the actual movie, and then
there was some...
in the one that you wrote, they were she was sobbing, screaming, crying, running out.
Wait a second. In the scene you and I acted out yesterday for Rooms of Peace Theater, there was a lot of sexual tension between our characters.
They were flirting.
And we portrayed that, and I think we got it out. Before you ran out of the room.
Also, my accent was not on point.
Best throwback moment of the film.
I think the whole film was a throwback. This had like a sepia filter over it. The way it was shot. Very old.
They do that.
When I looked into it a little deeper, it's from the producers of Little Miss Sunshine, which is just the same exact movie that it basically was.
Similar.
Very similar.
Very similar. What did this movie teach you? What lesson did you learn?
It taught me that you just got to keep living, man. You just got to keep living.
So if you're ever in an adult home, do everything you possibly can to escape.
Also, like, good on him for literally busting those bars open.
Yeah, he did a great job in the beginning.
Absolutely crushed that.
Best throwback moment, Breezy? Oh, we did that already. Best popcorn bucket score out of 5.
Yeah, it was a good movie. Good film, good heart, good family. I'm going to give it... dare I say a 3-2? That's great. That's really great.
Out of 5?
I gave it a 3-2. I'll give it a 3-4.
Okay, great. I had it in my head that this was going to be a 4.9 for you today.
Oh, well, that's not.
I was way off.
That's not it at all.
What do you think could have been done in the film to get it there? Them I casting you as the actress?
Yeah, I couldn't get over Shia LaBeouf's troubling past.
Oh, what does that have to do with the film?
It's just a lot of distractions, truly.
Right. Okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah. So good, though. So good.
All right.
You know, I'm not just going to give it a high score just to give it a high score.
No, we definitely rank movies very differently.
Mm-hmm.
Breezy's big movie review of The Peanut Butter Falcon with Shia LaBeouf and Zach Gostas again.
So close. Yeah, so far.
98PXY is free and always will be.
PXY Mornings, Moose Breezy. It is getting hot in here. 46 for the high today. What?
Very much so.
It saddens me to say this, but it is the end of an era for a longtime business in the city of downtown Rochester. Spot Coffee is officially closing after 25 long years.
Mm-hmm.
And this Sunday, March 2nd, will be the last day to run in there. Get yourself a croissant, a coffee, maybe some eggs if you can afford them. I don't know, what have you. But after reading the news on this, not sure why they're closing, but it's sad to see it. It's sad to see it happening.
I think it's crazy. Like, Spot Coffee is in such like a prime location downtown. And I feel like I don't frequent there often, but when I didn't live in the city and I was like in Canandaigua, coming to the city, the only thing I really remember is like that little area of Spot Coffee and the little theater. And it's crazy that it's going to be no longer.
I used to go there when I was going to school at MCC. I would go in there and do homework. Yes, I used to do homework, but it's that old iconic Chevrolet dealership from back in the day. I didn't realize there's I believe there are several Spot Coffees in Buffalo. And I know there's at least a couple of them in Saratoga Springs. I don't know where the original stemmed from. I'm not sure if it was the one on East Ave or not. But this one it's iconic.
It is iconic.
And I was saddened to hear the news just because of all the memories. And it's such a great, location.
It is a great location. And it gets me thinking, like, all of these local businesses that were such a staple in our community that have fallen to the wayside. And some of them are gone and forgotten, but some of them are gone and very much not forgotten. And I feel like when a business establishment leaves the area of which you frequent often, it's a dig to the heart.
It
really is.
I was saddened to hear about, remember Cafe Sabone on Park Ave?
Mm-mm.
Which I think they turned it into Rue.
I feel like we just will have like such different.
Well, I was going
like memories. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I was hanging out there before you moved down to Park Ave, and it was such a great little spot. But I was saddened when I heard that it was going away, because when you have a business that you quite often frequent, it becomes a part of your routine. You're there all the time, and then when it just like it shuts down, that's it. See you later. It pulls at the heartstrings a little bit.
Another place right behind Spa Coffee that used to be the best was Hart's Grocery. There was a grocery store right there. It was very popular. Hart's? Best breakfast sandwich.
I didn't even know that.
And
I could sniff out a breakfast sandwich for miles.
It was awesome. It really was. And when that closed down, you know, it just gave people variety. And when that closed down right there in the heart of downtown, it was hard. One of the ones that really struck a chord with me was the Carrot Company out in Victor. Now, they were right there across the street from the mall in that plaza where, like, UPS is. The old UMI was there. And they were there bumping for maybe, like, a year or two. And I went there probably, like,
every day,
four times a week. I mean, being honest, four times a week, and so much so that they named a broth bowl after me. That's how much I frequented really? There.
No wonder you missed it.
And one day I went without any warning. There was no news article. There was no, you know, warning shot fired. Sign on the door. Closed. Will not be reopening.
Yeah.
And it leaves a lot of customers and community members very curious to know, you know, what the hell happened here?
What did happen? I mean, do you remember last year when they announced Jimmy Z's was closing in Brockport?
Mm.
Oh, my Lord. People were just devastated. I think they still have their food truck. But one of my favorite spots back in the day where we used to go to happy hour is Tuvine, which is now Red. We know it as the restaurant Red. Mm-hmm. But Tuvine is where it was at. That's where you were going for dinner, happy hour. A lot of people were very upset when that place closed. You know, but now, I mean, they made up for it. Red's one of my favorite spots. I think a lot of people.
I mean, it doesn't really impact me that much now anymore because I don't live on Park Ave. But when Shiano's closed right there on the corner of Oxford and Park, I was like, what am I going to do now?
I know.
Where am I going to get my blue cheese?
What a calzone. What a calzone.
Oh, I know. I know. It's crazy. I actually found this website called rockwiki.org, and it has every closure ever for years and years. You can go and just be nostalgic on there.
Somebody just texted in, Vince. Hey, good morning, guys. You remember Bayside Pub? That was on Lake Road in where? Was that Webster or in the city? No, Bayside Pub was the place on the water in Webster.
That's not still a thing?
No, I don't even think Bayside Pub is still standing.
I think I just went this summer. Unless it went.
I remember a couple summers ago pulling the boat up and eating out there, but I know for a fact that definitely is closed.
Sad.
Yeah.
I do remember that. Yeah. Farewell. Farewell.
Yeah, so if
guys, it's just like it's a pain and a loss you can't really describe to anybody else, right? Like it's not a breakup, it's not a death. It's not the loss of a family member, but it's not to be dramatic. It is a loss, nonetheless.
The company and president and CEO of Spot said in a statement that this was not an easy decision, but we are incredibly grateful to the Rochester community for embracing us over those 25 years. And to our loyal customers, dedicated employees, and local partners, thank you for making Spot Coffee a home away from home.
So if you guys love Spot Coffee, you only have like five more days to go get after it.
Yeah. So
go make the most of it.
Say your goodbyes. It's PXY Mornings. Moose Breezy. We'll be right back.